Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with Jared, King of the Slams, and the man who keeps stealing my lines because I can't get them out quick enough, James. Welcome to the show.
It's going to be a good one. We're excited.
We are powering through the Screen Actors Guild strike with our powerful
content. Are we going to end it on this show tonight? I
think once the studios notice how we like kind of keep on trucking, they'll be forced to capitulate to the reasonable demands of the actors. So,
yeah, I think just also, you know, highlighting all of these actors here is really going to catch the studio's eyes.
That's a good point.
True. There's some real talent in this thing.
Yep.
It's kind of like we kind of have to like pick between our children. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's not that hard for me, but yeah, I get your point.
Yeah. You mean picking between your children or picking between these?
You can interpret that any way you want.
I asked Jared to pick between his children and he said none of them.
You make a whole bracket with the children's names in it.
I should do a family bracket too. That would be so devastating to them because they like brackets too.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, James has put an incredible amount of work into the I Think You Should Leave stable of guest stars tournament hosted at ITYSL_memes. So if you haven't voted yet, you've only missed the three play-in games. We realized we had more than 32 people that were like real contenders for this tournament, so we had three sort of three-way play-in games, which we're gonna jump right in and talk about. I think for everyone except for Jared, these were pretty tough. So I'm actually going to go in order of sort of like most dominant to least dominant. In one, we had Reese Coiro, who is the singer. What's the name of that? How do we describe that sketch? Bones Are Their Money.
Yeah, exactly.
Going against Kiff Scholl, who starred alongside Will Forte. In the ponytail sketch, it was nice enough to come on our show and was amazing. And Kim Yarborough, who's sort of Tim's foil in the 55 Burger sketch, and was also amazing on our show. In spite of my loyalties to the people who appeared on the show, Reese Coiro got about 60% of the vote and won solidly. It's hard to argue with his performance, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a dual threat. He's acting and singing. So, very impressive. Although Kim is also quite an accomplished singer. So, you know, maybe if she had been able to highlight that.
Showcase it, yeah.
Yeah, she might have been able to give him a run for his money.
Yeah, and Kiff is sort of like a jack of all trades. I think he directs a lot of theater performances and makes games. So, all a bunch of multi-talented people. I'm looking at Reese's IMDb page. It looks like he may have had a recurring role as Billy Walsh on Entourage. I know Jared's a huge Entourage fan, so you probably remember him from there.
I actually think I don't paint me in that with that brush, but I did watch Entourage.
Most people did.
You were slicking your hair back, wearing white bathing suits, white couch, exactly. Watching Entourage.
Oh man, that is totally Dangerous Nights crew. I think yes. He played a director in that show, like the guy who directed what was that movie? Like I forget what Adrian Grenier's character's name was. That's how big of an Entourage fan
Vincent?
I am. Vincent? Yeah. Well, maybe. He's in some artsy movie, and I think Reese Coiro was the director. Mm. He kind of plays like this, like kind of dickish director. I think.
Yeah.
Never accuse me of being an Entourage fan again.
I think you said it. Oh, no, I wait, said that was me.
That was you. Yeah, that was you.
In our second battle, good news in terms of I hold allegiance to for coming on the show. We had Adam Peacock versus Terrence Bernie Hines versus Andre Belew. And Jared, you must hate this. Andre Belew got probably 48% of the vote to win.
I do not hate that. I love Andre Belew. I follow him on Instagram. He's lost some weight. He works out a lot.
He looks good.
He looks great.
Yeah. We got to have him back on for some Detroiters stuff.
Tommy pencils.
When we get back. I have to tell you, my daughter, who is now 7 years old, roughly 2 years ago, I showed her the part of Detroiters where he gets nervous on stage. And it is maybe her favorite moment in TV history. She constantly talks about Tommy pencils. So, you know, if you're somebody who can steal the stage when you're on stage with Tim and Sam, it's pretty wild.
It's true.
So, yeah, really happy to see Andre Belew win. Terrence Bernie Hines.
Do you think Jessica rigged that vote?
For the Detroiters thing? Yeah, somehow that had 1.5 billion votes, many of which were from some sort of like Malaysian voting farm, bot farm. So
big fans of Andre there.
Yeah, I think that was definitely Jusica.
Good
call. Terrence Bernie Hines, I think if he ever gets a second sketch on the show, you know, that's like a factor for him. He's only been in one sketch where Dre and Adam Peacock have been in two. I think when all is done, we're going to push really hard to have Adam Peacock on the show. Really good straight man in the Gel Utah sketch from season 3. So we gotta get him when all is said and done. I think he's a talented podcaster too. I have to confess, I've never listened to his podcast, but I think it's like he might even have a couple podcasts. This third playing game was closer, and I think for good reason. Like when I saw the three people who were in this one, really three very commanding performances from people who were on the show one time. So Gita Reddy, who plays the lawyer in the Fedora sketch, the Qualcomm sketch, Jamie Taco himself, Nick Azarian, and Richard Wharton from the Claire's ear piercing sketch. In a really close battle, Richard Wharton won. I think his performance was kind of very classically good.
Shocked. I was shocked Jamie Taco did not take it, just because of the popularity of that sketch. But
yeah, just his like, I was wondering actually whether like putting the something about the name of the character might have boosted him, but I mean, it had the pictures, so people obviously, you know, could see who was who. But I one thing I noticed across all three of these was the winner was like someone who, well, actually, both Richard Wharton and Andre were like more or less one person sketches and kind of really got to like do it up big in their sketches. And then Reese is kind of like, you know, one of two main people in that sketch. So it definitely kind of leaned towards people who were heavily featured, which, you know, it could be a chicken and egg thing. Maybe people voted for them because of how featured they are, but also they were featured very highly because of how great they were in those sketches. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
I actually thought in that third play-in that the three roles were probably like three of the harder that have been on the show. Gita sort of has to deliver like 6 minute monologue, which she absolutely crushes. Richard has to show some like weird sort of emotional range while also being like borderline ridiculous. And then Jamie Taco's role is just like a total unicorn. And I actually voted for Nick Azarian. But all three of them, I thought, were like really tough roles to pull off for a sketch comedy show, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to talk about our, like, that was the playing round. So I think we're going to, the NCAA would call this round two. I think I'm going to call this round one. What's coming up? Good.
That disparages those who who lost, but that's fine. It's fine.
All right. So we'll call it round two. I know when I'm wrong. I'm not going to pull an I think you should leave and double down on my originally incorrect feeling. So the bad news for our friend Andre Pilou is he gets to now play against the steamroller that is Sam Richardson. Jared.
And just thoughts? For our listeners, who is Sam Richardson again?
I think he's the guy from Law and Order, the lawyer.
Exactly. I mean, that's a tough matchup. I mean, Sam is incredibly talented. I'm kind of curious, like, I mean, do you think, like, for people as famous as Sam, that voters are gonna pick him because of his other stuff or like his whole body of work, or are they gonna stay true to the confines of the show? I don't know, because I think
it's gonna go the other way.
Oh really?
But, yeah, my prediction is that people are gonna skew a little bit underdog.
Yeah, maybe. And
I'm just throwing out my prediction is that I don't think Sam's gonna make it to the finals.
I had him losing before the finals as well.
Me too. Okay. I bet we have a lot of that. I bet we kind of have the same person taking him out. We're not going to say it yet.
That.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I actually feel like, yeah, Sam has so much recognition and like Andy's so closely tied with Tim and between Detroiters and I think you should leave that. I feel like it could be interesting whether people are voting based on just sort of like, you know, feeling like he's barely even qualifies as a guest star versus being just like a part of the show, compared to like just isolating the sketches and performances and then voting by their like favorites from that. So it'll be interesting, but I think he's clearly one of the favorites.
Yeah. To win the whole thing.
And I do think Sam will move on this round.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. So moving along to a matchup, which I do think will be an upset. We have number 16, Fred Armisen. One of the greatest sketch comedians in the history of the world. Versus number 17, Zach Kanin. I just think for all his sort of contributions to the show, I think Zach will take him down.
I think so too.
I think so too. I think, yeah, it's this is another one where like the sort of how people interpret what their voting criteria will kind of determine it. Because Zach obviously has like been pretty small. He's been in several sketches, but they're all pretty small parts. Whereas Fred Armisen is kind of like the main person in his sketch. I mean, I feel like Zach's probably going to take it. And I very much also appreciate how well he played his like straight man roles in his small appearances. Yeah.
And the chunky.
Yeah.
He's in
the chunky suit.
He's a great chunky. That's great.
It's really hard to be funny with no lines. I mean, I guess technically he sort of is muffled.
He does talk.
He's not supposed to.
And I guess we didn't really define this, but people potentially could even pull in his appearance in the Pointer Brothers sketch.
That's true. Pointer Brothers.
Oh man,
could also boost him a little.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to make a rule to the listeners out there: you cannot consider him from the Pointer Brothers sketch. Just kidding.
Now they're going to do it just because you said.
Yeah. And yeah, you cannot consider anything Fred Armisen has ever done other than one sketch on.
We have ways to know, and we'll yeah. wipe out your vote.
Yep, we will wipe out. Like we will disqualify votes.
James actually pays Elon Musk like $40 a month.
Yeah.
To like yeah, get into I mean, people's well, brains.
He's got those chips in everyone's brains now, so I yeah, can just true. get the like data from that.
It's true. He's a good guy. People just don't understand him.
He's just misunderstood.
I can't keep a straight face. Man. Anyway.
By the way, as an aside on that, we may get shut down for this. I already feel like. Like, do you have people in your life that, like, when you bring up his name, they're like, he's a genius? Like, they just, their face goes like.
Fewer and serious. Fewer.
Yeah. And they're just like, yeah. He's a genius. And then I'm yeah. like, okay. But, like, he does all this stupid shit all the, you know, and they're like, he's a genius. I believe he's a genius. And then it's like they have a different voice that say, it's like they're programmed with chips in their head to say that phrase.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I mean, okay.
My workplace is like, there's a lot of Elon people. Yeah.
He's a genius.
We'll talk off air with that.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say anything else.
All right. So moving on to the next matchup. we have I think a real dangerous pick here. Bob McDuff Wilson going against Allison Martin. So both people with really great one sketch appearances where they are the sort of the main comedic engine. I'm seeing McDuff going here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Just to like make sure the listeners are aware, because I don't know if everyone will recognize every actor's name, but Bob McDuff Wilson is the Professor Uribe, and Allison Martin is the person who says the banana breath line. So both the stars of their respective sketches for sure. And I feel like the banana breath sketch is kind of one of those slow burner ones that has picked up people's sort of attention and kind of stuck in people's heads too. So she could have a good showing, but I feel like it's hard to beat Bob.
I agree. But you never know. Like if Allison Martin's family is listening to the podcast right now and they put it on Facebook. We're trying to win a competition here, you know, vote for me.
Or they have a Malaysian vote farm. That could be another option.
Yep.
The Jusica vote swings it.
The Jusica vote.
I'm telling you, like, if I had to get two people to help me start some sort of Twitter corporation, if that's the thing, it's James and Jusica, I'm like, I'm on top of the world. You know what I mean?
It's not Elon Musk. You wouldn't ask him.
No. He'll be paying me $8 a month. How about that? I just love the seating of the next one. We have number 9, William Frederick Knight, who plays Doug, you fucking skunk. Versus, again, one of my favorite sketch comedians of all time. Number 24, Beck Bennett, who plays sort of the frat. The guy who has to pay to have friends. Beck Bennett's SNL career is wildly good. He kind of carried them through some dark times. Even though everyone always exaggerates the dark times until now, when maybe the show's not that good. But I think William Frederick Knight's gonna carry it.
Yep.
Yeah. His another just like very very strong and very memorable, like kind of highlight of that season for sure. Whereas Beck's, while very funny, is a little under. It starts out actually, you think he's kind of the weirdo, but then Tim comes in and completely one ups him on that. So but a great sketch nonetheless.
I want to buy Tim's suit from that sketch.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
I think it's probably laying on the side of a highway somewhere. But
according to like all the prop masters and we've had on, like that's probably gonna be worn by like 20 other people. And, Although, who else would wear that?
I don't know.
Like somebody huge, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. So a really interesting matchup. Tim Heidecker, who has excelled in three different sketches, most recently as the Doctor who occasionally dips into clubs, versus number 29, Jason Schwartzman, who I believe is Nick Cage's cousin, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah, his mother is Talia Shire, who is Adrian from Rocky.
Right.
They're all Coppolas. Sophia Coppola might be his cousin too. So in spite of how amazing he was in his sketch,
I almost went upset here. I literally, because I, as I've mentioned, I really, that sketch really resonates with me. and he's a straight man in it, so it's like, I think that was ultimately, and then I had to look at the body of work for Heidecker. I can't knock out a top four seed in the first round, you know.
Yeah,
it's tough. But I thought about it. I really thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Schwartzman does like a pretty, that's a kind of long sketch, I feel like.
It is. Yeah,
and his character evolves over it too, in a pretty impressive way. Like, from an acting perspective, very, very good performance.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he's awesome. And very funny in a lot of stuff.
Why didn't you pick him over Tim Heidecker?
I'm going to throw out something controversial. I think Tim Heidecker should be the number two seed. Hot take.
I think that's a very fair take.
He has three sketches and they're all home runs. And
I
like them more than others. And I think his season two sketch, I think he is really, really funny in that.
Yeah.
I'm referring to, they call it Galactic Restaurant or something. I can't remember what they got. Because his co-star in that is not a sketch comedian. I think she does well. I think he's
impressive. Yeah. When you get up to, like, I feel like it's a very clear top four seeds just between the, like, volume of sketches and that they've been in and, like, kind of how memorable they are. But I feel like you could easily put Tim Heidecker, Patty Harrison, and Connor O'Malley in any order for those three and justify it.
Yeah.
I think Connor O'Malley, like, his performance as Tim's brother on Detroiters, to me, is like, that is the funniest thing. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like, him in that. Like, it is so ridiculous. Like, I think that outperforms any of his performances on I Think You Should Leave.
I agree.
And it's hard for me not to let that infect everything. But yeah, it's, I think that's him and Tim at their absolute best. I agree. I think you can make Tim Heidecker number two. But we'll live with it.
That's the fun of a tournament, is any poor seeding, like, kind of gets itself worked out. Our next matchup, from the sketch that almost destroyed Jared's marriage, number 13 Cecily Strong versus a multi-sketch star who's also very funny, number 20 Brandon Wardell. I actually think Brandon Wardell might be the person from the show who might, like, be funnier off the show. Like, if somebody was like, hey, you want to go see, like, Brandon Wardell stand up, I would be like, yes, in a heartbeat. But often he's kind of a straight man on the show,
right?
Which I think might lead to him facing the crushing Cecily Strong defeat.
She is so good in that. I mean, she's phenomenal. Like, just eviscerating him and, like,
a perfect, both, like, very well done portrayal of sort of a marital fight it's sort of like one side doesn't even realize it's a fight right away.
Right.
But also delivering some, like, absurd and hilarious, like over the top lines with a complete straight face. Yeah.
I love the way that she starts it, where like he turns off the light and then she's like, why didn't you, like, what did she say? Like, why didn't you defend like,
stand
yourself?
Up for yourself.
Yeah, why didn't you stand up for yourself? Yeah, it's great. She's so good in it. I mean,
This is a tough matchup for Brandon Wardell. I feel like Cecily Strong is like one of the highlight performances from the show.
Can you one of the sort of testaments to Cecily Strong's greatness, and I think she's somebody who, she wasn't always like the most used on SNL, but her success rate was like really, really high. I was playing this old clip of the Janine Pirro, the like crazy Fox News lady, and my wife was just like, is that Cecily Strong? Because that's one of her recurring characters.
Yeah, right.
So she's that good where she's indistinguishable.
Yeah.
She does look a lot like, is it Janette Pirro? Is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah. We'll call her the drunk lady from Fox.
who I think was in How to Make a Murderer, right? Like, wasn't she in that show? Like, she was. I'm pretty sure she was in like some local Wisconsin thing when that happened. And then she kind of rose to prominence after that. But
her speaking tone is unreal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. Big hitter matchup coming up next. Number 5, Biff Whiff, who I'm going to call the people's favorite versus number 28, Andy Samberg. Andy Samberg, one of my favorite, I think his rap videos are just all the funniest things that have ever happened, but Biff Whiff is definitely taking this.
Yeah, this is one of those matchups where, like, outside of the context of I Think You Should Leave, it's kind of like, seems like it would be a like complete runaway in the other direction.
Right.
Because just because of the, like, how big of a star and how funny Andy Samberg's like overall like history of all of his appearances have been. But if you narrow it to just I Think You Should Leave stuff, like, I don't think one, I think Biff Whiff has been a hilarious star in two very, very funny and beloved sketches. I guess three if you split Crashmore into the two pieces. Mm-hmm. And Andy Samberg was like very funny, but you know, he's kind of like, again, just the kind of vessel for the humor of Chunky and Tim.
Yeah.
I think Biff Whiff is gonna go very, very far. I'm just gonna say that right now. Like,
yeah.
How far? Do we wanna purposely avoid it, James, or? I don't know.
I mean, we could go through all of these round one, and then maybe we could give our predictions for our champion or final four or something.
All right.
12 versus 21 seeds, Vanessa Bayer from the Instagram sketch versus Kate Berlant from the It's a Party House sketch.
Yeah.
Hot dip or something.
Yeah. I'll just kind of say I gotta go Vanessa Bayer on this one. I think similar to the Cecily Strong pick, I mean, she's so good and so funny in that sketch and clearly is a highlight, and I feel like that's one of the also just like first sketches that a lot of people like see and really like get introduced to the show and find hilarious. Kate Berlant is also hilarious in a lot of other stuff too, and her sketch, she does a great job with her character, but I think it's just a bad matchup because Kate Berlant could easily have gotten to a second or third round depending on matchups, but here I think Vanessa Bayer's got to go, at least in my personal voting.
Fully agree.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we're halfway through, swinging to the other side. And congratulations, Reese Coiro. You get to go against Patty Harrison in the first round.
Yeah, Christmas didn't come early for him.
Which I'd be curious, what is your favorite Patty appearance?
For me, it's the tape. It's the video, the table sketch.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go that one too. Although the Santa Brought It Early one is a close second for me. Both of those are.
I think I'm the same.
My favorites.
Yeah, and then maybe, then there's Rat Mom, and
I Hate Bald Boys.
The Capitol Room.
Yeah, Capitol
Room. I'll go Capitol Room third for me.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That one's got some very good.
I'd go Rat Mom third, I think.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
I think she's actually written a couple sketches she hasn't been in as well, and I don't really know.
I think she did the Tammy Crapps one, or at least like heavily contributed to it. I
like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another upset brewing. Number 15, Fred Willard, just a longtime comedy legend, versus one of the people's champs, number 18, Shante Dillon, plus Juicica's Malaysian bot farm.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have to explain to everybody? No, people hopefully have heard our Detroiters podcast with Juicica, who was a very influential, I think you should leave, podcast, Twitter personality, along with Shante Dillon's best friend.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, and Juicica is like, Juicica is her Twitter handle, Jessica. She's obviously big, I think you should leave fan, but she's like one of the biggest Detroiters super fans. And definitely worth mentioning that she is helping organize a weekly rewatch of Detroiters on Friday nights. I think they're doing like two episodes a week, and just started this past Friday. So definitely, I mean, that's the show's great. And I think having like a sort of crew rewatching it and hopefully growing that fandom would be huge. So definitely, if anybody's interested in rewatching Detroiters as a community, should check that out.
I am. I need to do that. but Shante is definitely taking down Fred.
Yeah, I think Shante's gonna win this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's another one where her ties to the show and Detroiters and stuff are gonna be a big boost. And also I think that her appearances in I Think You Should Leave have all been like very understatedly very funny. I think the baby shower gifts one where she's having to deal with Tim is she's so good in that, and it
favorite of hers, I think.
Yeah
same. All right, and then we move on, very one of these classic I Think You Should Leave matchups that James described, where a sort of brilliant lesser known person is highly favored against someone who's even more famous. So we have 7 Ruben Rabassa against 26 rated Steven Yeun. The only argument against the powerhouse that is Ruben Rabassa is that he's been in one sketch, but in that one sketch he was had arguably the best performance in I Think It Should Leave history.
I think so. And I mean, it catapulted him into like he was in a few movies, including a Marvel movie, a short appearance in that like Ant-Man movie, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think Paul Rudd's a huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Ruben is one that I think I could easily see, going very far or all the way. So I don't think this is a slight against Steven Yeun at all.
Nope.
No, I think he's gonna feel this, but he's got some other accolades. He's been in some famous movies.
Yeah, he'll.
It seems. Yeah, I think he's gonna be fine.
Yeah, he was really funny in his sketch.
He was. I know. I loved it. I love that sketch. Gift Receipt sketches. It's great.
Yeah.
Was his character the most like bullied character in I Think You Should Leave history?
Well, maybe Zach Kanan's Paul against Ruben Rabasa could be the most bullying.
Yeah, that's a classic bullying.
Oh yeah, no, I think it is Zach Kanan's Paul is the ultimate bullying.
But in the defense of Ruben, he did have no good car ideas.
That's true. Yeah, and he did flinch.
I love so much the guy in that sketch who just like very matter-of-factly is like, marry your mother-in-law, Paul.
Yeah.
So good. He's,
that guy's up there with the in the hot dog car crash sketch, the guy who says, well, one of us is going to have to do it about thinking.
We got to get those guys on the show.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. We have number 10, Bob Odenkirk versus number 23, John Early.
I was one upset here.
I almost did too.
Yeah. This is hard.
I think with Odenkirk's like health scare, I feel like people are
people are soft.
Have you guys seen The Bear, like this season of The Bear?
Yeah. I've just watched is he one of the guest stars at the dinner?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm not there yet, so don't give away too much.
Well then I can't say anything because okay. I can't say anything.
Okay.
Oh,
you should watch it though. That show and season and episode are all great.
No, I watched season one and then my wife was like, there's this Christmas dinner and you love all the people that are there. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, the Christmas dinner is something very, very special.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sorry to ruin.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that. Good. But I think Bob Odenkirk probably wins. I mean.
Yeah.
I do too, but can I tell you, I might vote for John Early.
Okay.
I
wouldn't fault you for that.
I think his performance, like, I think Odenkirk's really funny. I just think John Early.
That's true from a performance standpoint.
He had, like, a very odd role. He sort of had to, like, portray someone who doesn't exist at all in the world. Yeah. But. For me, it's more kind of a toss-up, but I agree with you guys. Odenkirk's going to win.
Yeah.
That's a good analysis, though. By the way, just a subplot that's going on outside this podcast is enemy of the show, Vinod, is actually, I think, a fan now. He's a fan of I Think You Should Leave. He's, like, sending memes and shit. He's, like, saying he likes Haunted House more than Club Aqua. Like, I mean, he's doing everything.
I've stopped going in on him. For this, only because of his, like, you never laugh at my Tesla memes, though, Jared.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Sometimes on our tweet, I'll make fun of him for having a Tesla.
I feel like he gets I feel like it hurts him when we make fun of the Tesla stuff. Because I've done Tesla jokes to him before, and he gets kind of uncomfortable. So, and Elon Musk is a genius. So I don't know why you guys are bullying him like this.
He has a lot of time to reply to the text because he's like stopped charging his car. But you know, anyway, I know, but so we can't make fun of him about I Think You Should Leave anymore.
He sent me he owed me like some money, and I told him the amount, and then he sent that meme of like, it's too much, I'm not paying it. Of John Early, and I was like, Look at you, Vinod, all grown up now. It's great.
Kind of proud.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm proud.
Would he ever come on the show, do you think?
Oh, I think he really wants to, honestly.
Oh,
I do.
Man.
If the strike goes on much longer.
We can't have him. We can't have him on. it's just pure spite at this point.
Honestly, he's not even a supporter of the show.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
We have number 3, Connor O'Malley. Versus our play-in winner, Richard Wharton. I'm saying it right now. I think Richard Wharton's gonna win.
Ooh, what? Wow.
I think when I saw Richard Wharton win his very tough play-in, it made me think people really like his performance, which was amazing. And I love Connor O'Malley. I think he might be a little controversial. I've had some people say that his stuff's like a little too wild for them.
Again, I can see that about some of his his stuff outside of I Think You Should Leave, maybe, too. But I've, yeah, and some of his I Think You Should Leave stuff is maybe a little bit like, yeah, out there.
Even and you guys don't have to go with me. I also wonder if there's any Transylvanian bot farms. He did sleep with Dracula's wife.
That's true.
So,
yeah, this. I think this is a tough one just because of how good Richard Warden is in the Claire's sketch. But I feel like Connor's had some, like his in the Robbie Starr sketch is fantastic.
So
the
Honk
If You're Horny is so good.
Yep.
Obviously the one that Tasty Time videos. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to go against him.
I kind of feel like you might be right, Kevin. I could see him losing.
I just think this isn't your normal 3 versus 30. If Connor won, wouldn't shock me. His performance in the Blues Brothers sketch might be the icing on the cake. But
yeah.
Richard Wharton's got Cinderella vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. I mean, I was impressed by him winning the play-in. Like, I was really impressed. And,
We could. I mean, it wouldn't be crazy for this to be the first 30 seed over 3 seed upset in an I Think You Should Leave memes tournament.
Wouldn't be crazy. By the way, can we create some sort of small trophy that we actually try to present to the person who wins this?
I think we can. We can do that.
We have number 14, Tim Meadows versus the best friend of the podcast, opposed to the best enemy, like Vinod. Number 19, Steve Moulton. I think Steve's going to take care of business here.
I think he will too. I think he's going to win.
I think. I mean, he's a multi-episode appearance, and as he pointed out, second sketch of season one, second sketch of season three. Like, you get him right off the bat in both of them.
I love the Turbo Team. I think that.
Me too.
Yeah, I think he can win. Take down Tim Meadows. Although I love Tim Meadows, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I think he's so, like, in Mean Girls, he's amazing.
So good.
In Mean Girls. And obviously, he's done a lot.
Have you watched The Ladies, man?
I think I saw parts of it back.
It's funny. It's really funny. Yeah. And I believe he may have been Cully and Tony's neighbor for a while.
I believe so too. Yes.
Other members of our college team, Jim.
Because I think Vinod was visiting Cully in LA, and then Tim Meadows walked by, and he's like, "Hey, Cully, how's it going?" And Vinod was like, and then Cully didn't really understand who Tim Meadows was, and then Vinod was like, "That was Tim Meadows." He's like, "Yeah, Tim, my neighbor," and it completely blew by him.
Amazing!
That is amazing.
But I wouldn't be upset. I mean, Tim Meadows is great. If he won, I mean,
yeah.
That upset me, but I think Steve could win.
Next battle, number 6, Will Forte versus number 27, Mike O'Brien, both members of SNL, former members of SNL. I think Will Forte is gonna take this.
Yeah, I went with Mike O'Brien.
You did. Wow. Yeah, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah,
he's funny.
I was thinking Will Forte. If it weren't for his ponytail sketch, like if it was just one or the other of those, then I would have maybe seen Mike O'Brien making it through. But I feel like just his like repertoire of those two sketches, is going to carry him through. But I mean, Mike O'Brien is great, and also it's hard not to want to bring in his appearances in those Chicago Rats sketches too, which were so good. But yeah, this was a tough one for me. I really liked Calico Cut Pants and Mike O'Brien's appearance in it. So this one, I really had a hard time deciding.
Well, I think I had not picked a big upset yet when I got to this. I don't know. I think Calico Cut Pants, I think as a sketch, is better than the two that Will Forte are in.
I agree.
So yeah. I kind of went with that as the basis, even though Michael Bryant's kind of the straight man in it. But
he's good as a straight man, though.
Yeah.
It's like it's a tough, it's like a beleaguered straight man.
That's true.
And he has some pretty funny lines even as a straight man in it. Right. Like, yeah.
I like Will Forte's ponytail sketch more than the other sketch.
I think so too. I think I like it more.
Yeah. His first sketch actually like gives me a little bit of anxiety. I don't know why. I think it's just the noise. I think it came out while I still had a baby too. Sort of weird, like Will Forte made me feel biological pain. Thank you. And then we have our last matchup, which it's like a matchup where both people could win an Academy Award, maybe. Number 11, Paul Walter Hauser versus the only person who's roughly 60 lbs in this competition, Julia Butters. I think Paul Walter Hauser is going to take it.
He's so good in that in the Jamie Taco sketch.
But she was too. I mean, typically when you book a kid for a sketch comedy, you're not gonna get someone with the chops that she has.
Yeah. It was very impressive because her performance was on par with any of these like longtime comedic actors and how well she like carried that sketch, which is I mean, it's wild just thinking about the fact that they like made a full sketch where the comedy was all done by this like these child actors, but it was so good. I agree. Paul Walter Hauser, I feel like that performance was so great, and he is so, it's so memorable. I feel like that he's probably going to win, and I think he would be my pick here.
I actually saw both of them in movies like immediately after watching season 2, like accidentally. I caught him in Black Klansman, which I thought was really good, by the way. And she was in whatever that Netflix action movie was, which was also good, but kind of
The Gray Man.
Not overly memorable, but good.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to have more overlap than we expected, but do we maybe want to talk about our final four in this one? And then later we can pick a winner.
Sure.
Jared, do you have your final four handy?
I do. I do.
Prepared.
So I have the one seed making it, Sam Richardson. Mm-hmm. I have the 5 seed, Biff Whiff.
Okay.
I have the 7 seed, Ruben Rabassa. Mm-hmm. And then this is the one I'm nervous about now, 3 seed, Connor O'Malley.
Okay.
This could be an early first round exit, and I'm nervous about it now.
James, what do you have?
Well, I will say I had the exact same 4, and I also, as we were talking about these sketches, was having second thoughts about whether to pick Connor O'Malley, both in my own personal, like, just who I would pick and what my predictions are. And
it's tough.
That one also is just a tough region because I feel like there are multiple people in his sort of quadrant that I feel like could go all the way.
I feel like that bottom right quadrant, like,
yeah,
after the first round of voting, we'll have a pretty good sense as to who's going to win. Because I could see it going like a lot of different directions right now.
I actually have 3 of the same 3 that you guys had with Sam, Biff, and Ruben. And then I actually think Paul Walter Hauser is going to take the bottom right.
He was he was the other person I was really like putting up there in my thoughts. And I could see him going, I mean, it would be hard for him to beat Ruben, but I could see him going that far or farther if someone takes Ruben out too.
Yeah. It's tough.
I already think Jared and I have the same winner, but we'll leave that for probably next episode. Even if anyone gets upset, I'm still going to say who I originally thought was going to take it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, again, hopefully as this is rolling out, unless you're hearing it tonight on Sunday, which a few of you might, James, do you know you're going to post these on Monday?
Yeah, so my plan is to post it probably, I don't know, around like 8 or 9 a.m. Eastern Monday morning. And I think we'll have the voting open for probably 2 days. So Tuesday morning it'll close, and then we can record a kind of recap and preview of the next round after that.
And what do you know what time that is in Malaysia for our voters there?
It's a good question. Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
All right. I think we can let our, unless we have any other thoughts, I think we can let our listeners go.
I think that's good. I'm excited to see how people vote.
Me too. Pumped. Signing off, That's a Chunky.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Nights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.